Yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's my darling tonight?
I'm pretty good, Cindy.
Pretty
and
good.
How are you?
Oh, everything's great. Kind of a little bit tired of this sort of gray, rainy, not rainy, foggy,
aren't we
awful
all?
Weather. You know, a little sun might be greatly appreciated here. You know,
would be good, right?
Just a little bit of sun, you know. I mean, come on, you know. And it's been so hard driving at night. If any of you live on Long Island, because it's been so foggy, you know. And we live on the South Shore, so those of us on the South Shore have been just like really fogged out. So,
the other day I actually, because normally I take the train to work, and the other day I had my mother's car, and I drove to work over the Robert Moses Parkway. And when I was going over the Robert Moses Bridge to get to Ocean Parkway, from the bridge, you couldn't even see where the water was. That's how foggy it was.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, and that was
you
like
know,
on
I,
the bridge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It looked
I'm
like
not
a Stephen King movie.
Yeah, no, like, I was the other night driving in, and I was like, I'm not liking this. I can't see one foot in front of me. This is not
mm-hmm.
good. So, and so, you know, the last night TJ was sailing, and the fog went up really fast, and, you know, you could see he couldn't get out of the water fast enough, and then we had to drive home, and thank God it sort of finally broke on the way home, because you just can't stand not seeing when you drive. So, you know, I used
yeah.
to have an expression. As a teenager, I used to say, I'm all fogged out. So by the time we got back from the Hamptons last night, because I had done a psychic party and I was tired, I was like, we're all fogged out today. That's how we felt, you know? So.
Yep, I don't blame
I've
you.
I've been all, a little all fogged out lately. And it's hard. And, you know, after we did one of the readings last week about the woman who, you know, was a little bit, wondering how she's going to meet somebody besides dating apps. And we tried to talk about that a lot last week. And she sent an email
mm-hmm.
thanking you very much, Nicole, for all your advice and appreciating
aww.
That we spent some time on that because, you know, we're always trying to say to people, if you've got an idea, please call in and maybe let us know if there's some place you find good to meet people that's
yeah.
been helpful to you because we have to sort of stop with this whole dating app thinking it's the only way you could meet people. It's not the only way.
Yeah.
There's other ways to meet people. And you know, we just have to get out there and start meeting people. And, you know,
yep.
I'm
well,
so glad.
You know, you have to get out of your
that.
Comfort zone. Like, everybody's got to get out of their comfort zone a little bit, you know? I mean, listen, it's rough out there. We acknowledge the fact that dating in 2018 is a lot rougher than maybe it used to be, you know, 20 or 30 years ago or and beyond. You know, the acknowledgement is there. But just because it's harder doesn't mean that you have to continue to take the easy way out just because you're having a harder time, you know, by only relying on certain mediums to meet people. You know, and it certainly doesn't mean that you know, that's the only way to do it, that there are not more traditional ways to meet people because just like, you know, just like our caller last week wanted to know, like, what else aside to do, there are many other people with the same question, you know? So you've got a bunch of you that all want to meet somebody that all don't like online dating, and you're not doing anything proactive to help yourself, you know? So
right.
it's important that you guys are push yourselves out of your comfort zone and take that risk. you know, not an unnecessary risk, you know, like you're online and you're going to just go invite somebody over to your house that you don't know kind of risk, but, you know, risk in taking, you know, a new class and risk in exposing yourself to something brand new.
Exactly. And I like the way you said out of the comfort zone because, you know, when we were children, we really had to do stuff outside of our comfort zone. Nobody cared if you didn't want to play jumping on the trampoline. Nobody cared if you weren't comfortable learning math. You had to get out of your comfort zone. But what happens is we get older, we tend to never want to step outside of our comfort zone. And that's why I told you I'm always forcing myself out of comfort zone, doing stuff. Sometimes I wonder why the hell I'm doing it. And I realize it's just because we can't get so comfortable that we get afraid of stuff or that we just don't want to try it. And, you know, life's an experiment. And there's so many activities, you know, libraries, your local library is filled with, like, book clubs and films and, you know, people talking about all different kinds of topics. And these are, like, free activities. And maybe it's not just your library. Go a few towns away from where you live and go to a library, because libraries don't really care if you belong to the library or not. That, you know, you can just go to different events. So start with your library, because libraries are becoming more like the Sachem Library. They have, like, a little coffee place in there, kind of like a Starbucks, whatever. They have, like, a whole little center there. So, you know, go to the, you know, don't sit home at night. Go to the library. Go out. But, you know, if you're going to sit at home and think, well, if love's going to come, it's going to come to me. No, when you want to get a job, you can't just sit at home on the couch watching TV and say, well, a job is going to come to me. It's just going to be brought to me. No, you have to put resumes. You got to get out there. You got to get out of your comfort zone. And then you find a job. Love is not so different. And I think, really, God's forcing people to do this because it seems like years ago, maybe people could just sit there and somehow it was brought to them. But it's not happening lately. Yeah. So, you know,
no.
I'm not hearing anybody saying it's happening.
Not.
Right. So get yourself out there. We live on Long Island. There are millions of people. Start meeting some of them. Start talking to them.
Yep.
And, you know,
oh, you know
I
what,
don't
Cindy?
What's that?
When you finish your thought, and then I'm going to tell you something nice. Doesn't relate. What's that?
Well, go ahead. I don't think people will be paying therapists and paying me and paying everybody they need, to, life coaches, everybody to talk to if they were talking to each other more. Talk to each other, please.
You don't have to
just pay somebody to talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. Talk to the person next to you. Talk to your kids. Talk to your friends. Talk to your neighbors. Most people don't even know their neighbors anymore. You know?
I know. It's sad.
It's very sad. So if we don't even know our next-door neighbors, like, come on, it's getting scary out there.
How do you expect to find anybody if you're not even engaging with the people in your immediate vicinity?
Exactly. So tell me what you were going to say.
Okay, so last week when we were discussing dating and such, you know, I had told people that, you know, it is important, you know, to make eye contact. It's important to make a human connection, you know, even if you know, it means just, you know, putting yourself out on a limb. And I believe I told you guys, you know, maybe a couple of weeks ago that I keep finding wallets and things. Since the beginning of the year, I keep finding wallets and I keep returning wallets. I don't know what it is this year. But most recently, I found, you know, somebody's phone case. And it was one of those phone cases with, you know, with the slots for all the credit cards and your license and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
The thing was empty aside from a driver's license and a health card. That was it. And, you know, not thinking anything of it, I looked at the license, I put everything in an envelope, and I sent it to the guy, you know, and I just kind of said, listen, this was found over here, you know, and, you know, I said, you know, it was empty when I got it aside from the license and this, so I hope that you didn't have anything of importance in there, you know, but here you go, I thought that you'd appreciate the license back, have a great day. And I didn't bother signing it, you know, but the return address was my office. Well, 2 days ago, okay, a guy shows up at my office saying, hey, did anybody find a wallet? Because somebody from this was the return address. I want to say thank you. And, you know, you could tell that this guy did not really have a whole lot of money. He did not really have, you know, I mean, you could tell he didn't really have much. I mean, he had duct tape holding a piece of his car on, you know. And this guy was so appreciative that he came over and he gave me, you know, a bunch of Win for Life lotto tickets. you know, and you know, like $5, you know, just so I can go buy the one that I want or whatever, just to say thank you, you know. And he proceeded to tell me that, and this is where it ties into what you were saying about millions of people, you know, he wound up, you know, giving me probably a little too much information, but he told me that one of the lessons that he learned from his dad was that if you look at the papers, there's 30 different papers and there's 30 different assholes on those papers, and everybody's looking at those 30 assholes. But what about the millions of people around you that nobody gives a second thought to? He's like,
wow.
So, you know, and it's so true that he said that, you know. So, you know, we have to stop looking for the negative in everything. We have to stop looking for the assholes in every situation, and we have to start looking for the millions of people that are around us that might not be bad people, you know. And it was really, really kind of resonated because, you know, it was, you know, a thank you, and he went out of his way, and he didn't have to. I didn't sign my name because I wasn't expecting anything in return. I just wanted to do the right thing. And, you know, by him saying thank you and just sharing that one little piece, it made a lot of sense that, you know what, we are trained nowadays to be offended. We are trained nowadays to look for the constant negative, to look for the constant fear, you know. And, you know, we're being trained subliminally to be afraid of everything. You know, I mean, we don't want to go on online dating because we hear about all these horror stories. But, you know, the bottom line is that when it comes down to statistically, a man is more likely to be killed by a woman than a woman by a man. You know, and that's just statistics. Yet many women fear that they're going to get into a situation where they're going to be murdered by using a dating app. You know, so and you have to, like, think about that fear, and you kind of have to rationalize a little bit. And you have to say to yourself that, yes, there are things to be afraid of. And, yes, there are precautions that you must take. But just because you're being cautious does not mean that you stop altogether. That's not caution. Otherwise, that just makes you stagnant. You know, so we have to, you know, be a little bit reckless, and we have to take some chances, but we have to take as calculated risks as possible.
Exactly. And I love that, calculated risk, okay? A calculated risk. And that's what we're going to – let's get out of our comfort zone. That's our slogan for this week, out of the comfort zone, please.
Yes.
And see if you can't make a new friend even. You know, make a new friend.
Lovely if people would make new friends.
Right, exactly. And, you know, sometimes people think it's impossible for them to make friends. No, it isn't. You can make friends. You just have to open yourself up a little bit, talk, and, you know, be a good listener, too. So let's see if somebody calls in and says they've made a new friend. I'd love to hear someone calling in and say they've made a new friend. I think, please, our assignment is, can you make a new friend? And if you do, call in and let us know you actually
made a new
friend.
Call us in and let us know.
Let us know, because it's great, you know. You know, it's always good to make a new friend. Well, we do have a lot of listeners, and we haven't been able to screen any of them yet, so maybe we'll dive into the first one. And could you please remind our listeners, if they want to talk to us, what they have to do? And
Of course.
And I think we'll probably jump to the 8555 first, because I think that's Karen, and she
listens
frequently. But she
we know Karen.
And this way we can screen the next one in, because Karen doesn't often push, because she's a regular listener, but, you know, I'm wondering if she has something to add to what we're saying.
No, she does not push one unless she's got a reason to push one. So we're going to go first to Karen, and at least now we know we're getting somebody normal for the first call, even though it's not screened. So here we go with Karen. What's up, girl? You're on the air.
I do have something to add. You're right, Cindy.
Oh, good. That's what I thought. I had this, like, feeling that you might want to add to what we've been talking about.
I did. You know how I'm working on courage and going out, and Labor Day weekend, my son and I went to South Florida for 2 nights, and then we did 2-night booze cruise. Not booze cruise, a cruise to the Bahamas.
Wow.
And we had a great weekend, so we took the 2 nights, and, you know, he was a little bored because he was at that age where he wished he had a friend and Wi-Fi. But,
right.
I had a great time. I talked to everybody. I had a great time. I was out all, you know, the whole night. We were doing so many activities, plans, and it was just, there was a lot of people. I would have liked a little bit, like, some more single guys. There was no single guys because I would have found them if there was. But there was a lot of people to talk to, and it was a lot of fun.
Okay, good. And sometimes it's just, you know, if there's not a guy or there's not someone that you're feeling, you know, that there's going to be connection with, you know, because you could tell pretty quickly when you get a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, try to just go out to these places, make some friends, you know, and talk. I mean, because it feels good to talk with other people. And people seem to be so afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't feel shy about it? Because I know you're a little bit shy. Did you feel shy about it?
No, not at all. I was fine. I had a good time.
Wow, good. And just, I think that's great. And remember I was telling you your assignment was to sort of get out of your comfort zone when
mm-hmm.
you came for reading. And I could see you're doing that.
Yeah.
You're getting
really
out of your comfort zone. And it's really fun. You have a good time. And I hope you continue to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And do some things even locally. We don't have to go to the Bahamas to talk to strangers. We have strangers in our neighborhood that we could talk to. You know?
Yes, yes. Well, it was nice because, you know, I loved the warm weather, so it was beautiful just to get out with him. And even my son was great because, you know, he didn't have the best time, but he was good. But he's like, this trip's for you. And I'm like, okay, good. Because we haven't gone away in a long time. Like, big, you should go local. So it was nice.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you shared that with us because sometimes just going to these things and going to events is really, it's really fun. It's really fun to meet new people. That's how I tried to, it was interesting. And, you know, sometimes when we talk to people that we don't know, we can even get messages from the other side. Like, you know, you'd be surprised how, you know, you're standing on a line and you're sad about something or something's on your mind. And the person just says something that just like, gives you that aha moment. Sometimes God will put a stranger in alignment with us
mm-hmm.
to just deliver a message to us. So if you don't talk to the people next to you, you might be missing some messages from the other side. And you never know who it could deliver. It could be a child. It could be anyone. And, you know, I remember years ago when I was still a children's entertainer and I was doing a Christmas party and I was a clown and I was pretty sad that particular day. And there was this guy dressed like an elf, and he had Down syndrome, and he came up to me, and, you know, he delivered a little message to me, and it was so eye-opening to me, and I was stunned. Like, he was saying something about don't be sad, and your angels are watching you, and he delivered some really specific things about what was going on, and I wasn't really psychic at that time, not the way that I am now, so I was a little bit stunned, and after the party, I asked people that were, I said, the elf said something to me that seemed like, I don't know how he could know. And they go, believe me, he delivers messages to everybody. We all know. But so you never know who's going to deliver a message, but you have to be willing to talk to people and get those messages. So, I mean, sometimes it could be an old person who just says something that might rattle us to realize, wow, you know, they have some wisdom in their old age and it pertains to us. So that's why I'm always telling people, talk. You never know where you're going to get a message. So with that in mind, I hope everybody gets a message from somewhere this week. And
then the other big thing is my bathroom is finally done. So it's beautiful. I love it. I'm very happy with the whole bathroom reno.
What are you happy with? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
I had to do the whole bathroom over. Remember, I had a pipe that busted and I had to do the whole bathroom over this summer. So all of August, we were back and forth. My mom's living there, and it's finally done, and we are back home, and it's great.
And remember, we were talking about how you couldn't believe, you know, the pipe broke, and somebody was wondering why Dad couldn't have stopped that. And I said, well, Dad broke it while you were off from school and not working, so it was a good time to fix it. If he did it now, you would be going frantic. And now you have a beautiful you know, imagine if it broke when you were at work and you weren't there and the flooding. And I mean, just amazing how sometimes they just, you know, it didn't seem like the greatest time to have it, something break. But when you look back at it, it was good. And your dad's very happy with how the bathroom came out too. So just know that. So now you're just relaxing and your school year is good?
Yep, everything's good so far. Just that my ex is single again, so that's never good. He's, you know,
I'm not surprised because he's been not great. So I can imagine that she wised up to him. And so it's not great. Has he been bothering you?
Just a few messages. I'll get a few messages a week now.
Wow.
Just, you know, I love you, miss you, you're wonderful. But from afar, so that's good too. I hope he doesn't cross that line.
Yeah, no. You have to then just deal with the righteous anger, which is just the facts. You know, we're not married anymore. You can't, you know, when you do A, B, C, D, it's not good. So please don't do it. So you don't engage with him because, you know, he's depressed, and he can't be depressed and angry at the same time. Nobody can be depressed and angry at the same time. So when they can't stand the depression anymore, they want to throw us a hook, which means he'll say something nasty or biting or whatever that he expects you to, you know, take it and punch him back, and then he's going to have a full-blown fight. So when he throws you that hook, don't take it. Answer just with the facts, answer the question straight, or say, I'll talk to you tomorrow when you calm down. But don't engage with him because he's looking for someone to fight with, and he was doing a lot of fighting with her.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure he was.
So, you know, and now it's going to be murder for your son when he has to go there. You know, a little bit harder for him, too. Well, let's just pray he finds somebody else for a while. A nice person. Another nice person has to learn. You can't fix people. There's another sucker out there that's got to learn the same lesson you had to learn. Me and Nicole, we all had to learn. You can't fix people. Let's get him a nice woman who has to learn that lesson, because we don't want to bring him the level of love he deserves, because then your son will have to be exposed to really toxic love. So we'll pray for a good to a fault person who has to learn you can't fix people, and he will certainly teach her that, won't he?
Sure.
It might take a few months, a year, whatever, but people will learn he's not very fixable.
Yeah.
So.
Well, right now he's not going down there till Christmas week.
Well, by then maybe he'll have somebody. We'll just pray he has somebody. You know, it's always something, isn't it? When you have an ex, it's always something.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I'm glad you brought it up, because it's just a reminder when you're dealing with your exes, you want to have divorce without drama, trauma, you have a kid involved, and you just deal with facts. You just, that's it. And you don't get emotional, and you don't take it personal, and you don't engage. Otherwise, it just becomes really nasty and awful. And you don't want to go there.
Right. It's always a good reminder, because you can. I can go that level, too.
Oh, everybody can, especially if they get you a woman when she's just having her period. And believe me, that once a month, we may be hormonal and we may overreact, but we're always saying what we want to say. Okay, we just don't say it nicely. So we don't want to wait till he gets us at a moment of weakness. So always say, you know, I'm really sorry you're going through a hard time, but, you know, I'm not married to you anymore, and that is not really my problem, you know, and just let it go. Because he's going to blame you now because he's lonely, he doesn't have any, but it's your fault because you divorced
him.
You know, and, you know, isn't that terrible? It's your fault. You know, it's all your fault. It's possible to get along with exes. It's not easy, but that's when we have to just, like, rise above it. And
I just want to make sure he stays where he is. I like him far away.
I don't see him coming forward because it's cheaper where he is, for one thing. And he kind of, you know, I don't think he wants to come back. So I don't think you have to worry about that, you know, and which is good news. And, well, keep us posted, and I'm glad you let us know that you got the cruise, and that you also gave us a little time to remind people that we do have to deal with exes, and we just have to do it the best way we can. And, you know, it'll always remind you, and what I love about this is sometimes when you're divorced, there's always those moments when, like, you haven't found anybody yet, and sometimes, like you said, the bathroom needed fixing, everything goes wrong, and sometimes you wish your ex was still there for a moment. You get those thoughts.
Right.
Then you speak to them for 5 minutes, and you remember why you're divorced.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm glad that you shared that with us, because a lot of our listeners are going through the same thing. So keep us posted, and I hope to see you one of these days soon.
Okay,
I always enjoy seeing you.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys.
Okay, bye. Bye. And
bye,
just a little reminder, I'm doing a soulmate and, you know, a relationship workshop, you know, fix the one you got or build a brand new, better one from the bottom up, October 17th at 7 o'clock at the Great Neck Library. And I hope some of you can join me. It's a free lecture, and it's a wonderful library. I mean, no, it's not the Great Neck, it's the Gold Coast Library in Glenhead. So I hope some of you can join me. So did you get to screen?
Of course I did.
Okay, so why don't you tell us about the next caller? Right, and tell us about the next caller.
Okay, so we have your buddy, Teresa, on the phone. And basically, she had a change in her business structure, and she lost a very large client. And she's a little bit concerned, Cindy, so she wants to know what the cards say. about this whole situation being rectified? And, you know, do you see anything positive coming out of this restructuring? But also, seems they owe her a little bit of money, so she wants to know. You know, she's going to be contacting some attorneys. I mean, is this a lost cause, or will she be seeing those dollars get back? So here we go with Teresa. Hello, Teresa, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing, Cindy?
Okay, I'm so sorry that this happened to you. Is this one of the clients we were talking about in your reading?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, that,
yes,
you know, we were a little concerned about them then. And they owe you money. Are you going to take them to court? Are you going to,
yes,
you know, you're going to make sure you get that money.
Yeah, I'm actually seeing an attorney tomorrow about it, because it's quite a bit. It's not even like chump change. It's a ridiculous amount of money. And
right.
Like 82,000.
Oh yeah, that's, yeah. And they, what I could see here is they have no intention of paying unless you really force the hand of it. Okay. And they're going to try to pay less than that amount if they can. So, I don't know if you're going to have to actually take them to court, but it does look like a lawyer's letter would be the first step in scaring them a little bit. You know, and
yeah,
you have to scare them. These people are shady.
Yeah.
You realize,
well,
they're shady?
Well, that's the reason why they moved and I didn't move with them. You know, you and I spoke, and I said, you know what, I can't move with them because I don't really want to. Sometimes when you deal with people that, even though you could be the most honest individual, the person that you're dealing with is not honest, and it rubs off on you, and I don't want that following me. I didn't want that to ruin what I built, worked so hard to build, you know, so.
Okay, but, you know, you realize these are the kinds of people, what have you done to me lately? Now they know you're not going to be working with them anymore, so they really don't care to pay you. I mean, they're going to have to. You're going to get money, but they why pay you now? Like, we don't need you for anything right now. So you're seeing the kind of people that they are. I mean, good people pay their bills no matter what. They pay it. Okay, but these people are just playing games with you. And, you know, you'll get your money. Are you upset that you – remember, they're not the kind of client you want to keep. And when we get rid of these kind of clients, we usually get better, good ones. So
yeah.
I'm seeing it won't kill your business. Ultimately, you're going to get, a few clients that will take the place of these people. And you'll be glad when you get that you've gotten rid of them in general, because they're more trouble than they're worth. Do you realize that?
Oh, I know that. That's for sure. That's for sure. I honestly have a little more peace, strangely enough, that I've severed the ties with them, because they always push the envelope. You know, they walk the line, and sometimes they fall on the wrong side of that line.
Right.
And I want nothing to do with it. And when I started, you know, being separated, I was capable of saying, no, I'm not doing this. And no, I won't do this. So they went, you know, they moved on to someone who will.
Right. In other words,
you
what your own father is saying, I had to protect you from getting involved with people who ultimately might do something less than legal that could land you in trouble. So let's just, because you could see these people are shady and they don't do what's right, and you don't need that. You have a stellar reputation. You're great at what you do. And they're always trying to pull stuff off, and you just don't want to be involved with people like that. So they're not really a loss. You will get your money. It's just going to take some time. And, you know, they're just the kind of people that they don't need you now, so we'll pay you when we have to. And, you know, you were worrying about this in the past. How long have they been owing you this money from?
This is like 3 years of accumulations.
And you let
them
bring up that big a tab?
Well, the situation was this. I was subleasing, so we were all under the same roof, and we had an agreement. And as they were capable of doing that because it was that much business coming in, that much going on, you know, at a time. And, they, you know, and things were supposed to be, okay, well, the next one, well, this is going to pay this. So slowly they were supposed to be paying me off as things closed, and they were collecting the money, and they never paid me. And the fact that I was under the roof with them in the same you know, office building, you know, it made it very difficult. And I went and I tried to talk about it, and we tried to discuss it, and nothing came to fruition. And it was always, you know, so busy, there was no time to even do anything. And they had me running. Of course they had me running. I did a lot of business that I didn't get paid for. And I was chronically working. You know,
right.
And I just, you know, every time I'd approach it, well, you know, could you give me a list? Could you get me this? Could you do this? Could you do that? You know, and it was always one excuse after another. And I finally tried to sit down with them, and I tried again recently, you know, like, let's sit down, let's talk, let's see, you know, maybe if we continue to do business, you can, you know, slowly pay this off, you know, but that never happened, so.
Wow.
You know, yeah. And then I called the attorney, and I said, well, I guess it's time for me to do this. That obviously I haven't heard one word from him. He hasn't responded to any of my reaching out or invoices
or
anything.
Is he going to. Okay, so
no.
he's not going to communicate to you till he has to. You know, and it's funny also because you're a woman in business. And sometimes, you know, when it's a woman in business, you know, men try to pull this crap. So you're just going to have to, for the women of the world, make sure you get your money. And don't get yourself sick over it because, you know, you will get your money. Okay. Unfortunately, it's going to cost you some money to get some money.
I know.
And that's not right. But what I see here is, you know, you're worrying yourself really sick over this right now.
Well, I just got out of the hospital last week.
Okay, now what happened that, because I'm seeing there's something here. Okay, so there is something else going on here, because these cards are like worry, 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 worry. What happened to you that you were in the hospital?
Well, my mother had made some eggs, and she had one, and she said it made her sick. She said she got sick and she threw up on, I don't know, Saturday and was not feeling well on Sunday and didn't throw them out. This woman throws out good food. This is what really got me. So she didn't throw them out. On Monday, I ate two of the eggs and I was very ill all Monday. I couldn't even speak. That's how bad it was. Around the clock until I had my daughter take me to the emergency walk-in, and they sent me to the hospital, and then I wound up there until last Friday.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it wasn't really very good. You know, it was between the food being bad, I guess, and not being cooked enough or whatever, and then my mother went and told my daughter that was my father. That was my father, you know, teaching me a lesson because I didn't stay home with her.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like the supreme narcissist, okay, of the world, your mother. You know, it's not her fault for not throwing them out. I mean, what did you think? What did she think? Dad food's going to get better the longer you keep it? I mean, what's her logic?
No, she didn't throw. Honestly, she didn't throw it out because she was hoping I'd get sick. I hate to say that, but that's really what I feel.
Well, just know that that karma is very bad on her. It certainly wasn't your father who would do that. But
no,
just
no.
I would be careful with her now because looks like she's getting a little bit of senility here. Okay, you know she's devious as she always was, but you know she's really capable of anything at this point. So protect yourself. I'm going to make sure she's not going to leave the food out and get you sick. Be careful because she looks like she's really, you know, she always had a mean streak, but it doesn't look like it's gotten better here. It looks worse.
So,
well,
you know,
I'm waiting for paperwork to come. I hate to say it. She's gotta move out.
Well, that's what your dad is really. The bottom line is this: why you have the same lesson in these two things. So let's kind of. My job is to kind of sum up karmic lessons for people. You were dealing with those people at work who were narcissists, judgmental, not accountable for their behavior, was a little bit shady, capable of anything. And because you were bringing out the best in them, you were just trying to make this work because you were bringing out the best in them. Now you learned that these people stabbed you in the back, walked out on a lot of money. Like, we have to stop thinking just because we're good, somebody isn't going to screw us over, because that's not how the world works. So you were dealing with unfixables there. Now you have your mom living in your house, torturing you, allowing you to get sick when you're the breadwinner. You have to make money, allowing you to get sick. She's a narcissist. She's judgmental, not accountable for her behavior. It's pretty devious here, too. You have all these unfixables around you. And what's your lesson? Sue the people who owe you money, and your mother has to go in a nursing home because if she's this is being dangerous to you. If you can't trust her that she's not going to make you sick, I mean, this is a lot on you. Do you realize she has to go somewhere else? And your dad's giving you permission that you don't have to take care of her at this point. She could outlive us all, your mother. That's the scary part about it. You keep thinking, oh, maybe she'll be
fine. It really is true. I know.
I mean, you're going to die of a stroke. You'll blow your brains out living with her, and she'll be living on for 100 years. Your lesson here is enough with people. So figure out what you're going to do to protect yourself from her. Where would she live? Do you have any ideas of what you could do about
that?
Yeah,
I put in an application. Actually requested applications for like St. Joseph's Village, because it's a sliding scale payment as far as monthly rent, and she could afford to live there. It would, you know, it'll go by her Social Security. It's for elderly people, and hopefully they'll have a place for her. I'll fill out the application when it comes. I have to ask my sister's help, because I doubt my mother will give me the information about her, you know, her financials, so that I can get rid of her. So I'll have to ask my sister's help. But my sister has not been responding to me either, because my sister knows. I asked her already to go get the application, and I know she didn't. And I said, well, I'm going to need your help filling it out. And she just never responded, because she has no desire to be bothered. She's not functionable.
Well, that's why then you're going to ship your mother to your sister, if that's the case.
No.
So you can see, where does your sister live?
My sister lives very close, and my mother will not go anywhere on her own. If I get this apartment, and my sister will have to help me get her out, but I need my sister's help, and I don't know if I'm going to get it, quite honestly.
Well, okay, well, you're going to have to tell your sister, if you don't, I'll bring her to your house. I don't care what mom says. I'll leave her there. So, you know, you have to be a little tougher with your sister. You know that she has to cooperate, because something has to give. You're a very nice person. I've known you a very long time. But it's a time for you have to realize you're cracking under the weight of all of this. Okay, you can't carry everybody's cross and clean up everybody's mess anymore. You got enough mess of your own. God gave you this $82,000 problem, because you got to focus on that, okay? Can't focus on your mother making you sick and all of that. But do with your sister with, like, I want those papers. I'm going to come get them. Or just give me the information that I need. Ask her for the information on the phone. Can you get the papers yourself? If she's not going to get them, you have to get them, and then you have to just sit her down
right there
and get the.
Yeah,
you got them already?
No, I ordered them. I called and ordered myself, because I knew my sister. I really knew she was not going to be doing it. She thinks I'm blowing off steam, and I told her. I said, I'm not blowing off steam. She has to go. She's affecting my health, and I can't have her here any longer. I said, I've taken care of her for all these years. It is your turn, and I know she doesn't want to do anything with it. She doesn't even invite my mother over for a cup of coffee, or even me, for that matter. So I know that she doesn't want to be dealing with my mother. And I said, look, I know you can't deal with her. You don't want her at your house. We'll put her in this place. You go visit her there. She has that's an apartment. She'll have her own place. She has her own car. I bought it for her. She has her own truck, whatever. You know, she's got everything she needs, and she'll be fine on her own there with, you know, her and her dog. That's it.
Well, that's what you're going to do. And you're going to get your sister, just sit her down, get the facts that you need and the information. But you're going to have to give up energy anymore that you're not, you know, people can't walk over, they can't poo-poo you away, okay? and you go over her house and you say this, I'm not leaving until we've given this information, you know, or speak to her and talk to her, but let her know, you know, you're serious, you've got the papers, and, you know, no more like being so, you know, pushover. Good people are just like crap takers, okay? We're the great crap takers. You're over your crap limit. Do you realize that?
Oh, I certainly am. I'm telling you, my eyes are starting to change from blue to brown.
Uh-huh. So I'm telling you, you're over your crap limit now, and it's all the same lesson. Your sister doesn't want to help because narcissists never want to help us. But if you make it so your energy is that, you know, this is what's happening, she'll have to cooperate. And, you know, focus on getting your money, but it's the same lesson. We're always here to teach certain people. You know, it's not your job to carry your mother's cross, have her in your house if she's destroying your peace and your health. I want you to love yourself the way you love your daughter. What would you tell your daughter to do if she had someone like this living in her house? What would you tell her?
Oh, I would make her get rid of her without a doubt. I know that. Even my daughters now finally see that she's nuts.
Right.
They finally see it. After this thing with me in the hospital, they finally see it. And her telling my kids that, you know, it was my father that made me sick because I didn't, you know, my children, thank God. You know what? Because if they didn't see it, they'd be inviting her to stay with them. And really, my daughters are very good that way. They're very much like me in that respect. And I said, you know what, Nicole, you can't. I said, you know, and she's like, well, I thinking maybe I'll buy a car. I said, you're not buying anything. Let her go to St. Joseph's Village. You're not going to put your money out there and put yourself a noose around your neck so that your grandmother has a place to live. It's not up to you to have to take care of her. You have a baby to take care of. You have a husband and a family that you have to concentrate on, not her.
So you knew what to say.
I said, if I get old, I said, I want you to make sure I'm not living with you. I will not live with you or your sister. That's what I said to her. I'm not doing to you what my mother's doing to me.
Well, you would never do that anyway, but I think it's all the same lesson. Why is everything raining down on you right now? Because God is telling you, choose again. And what you're choosing is self-love. Your intention in getting your mother out of the house is to, A, instruct and teach her that you can't abuse people or they will not take it. I'm sorry, enough is enough. Two, you love self-love and self-preservation because she's making you ill. I mean, that stomach illness is just one thing, but that's an example of what, you know, your stress level from her can cause a stroke, a heart attack, cancer. You're too stressed out. You have to go home to peace, and there's no peace in that house. So this is your year of peace, and it's the peace that we have to do sometimes by cutting people out. And we honor a good mother. We don't honor mothers that are torturing us. And you're not thrown around on the street. You're going to put her in a place. She'll have her space. She'll have her place. And, you know, she can have things her way. The way that she wants it. So the sooner the better that you do this. And your father said he'll help get her in there quickly.
I hope so, because there's a 3 to 5 year wait. I was having like...
Well,
a
3 to 5 year wait, we can somehow make that, speed that up. Your father's going to have to speed that up somehow, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Well, keep us posted and let us know what's happening, especially as you'll get the money from these people. It's just going to take time. It's unfortunate that they're not the kind of people that would just pay you because they're supposed to pay you. But they will pay when push comes to shove, even if it means putting liens on their properties and stuff like that. You know, because they're just the kind of people that just trying to stall you as long as they can, which is
sad. Well, they don't want, and I think that they'd be afraid that, I'm hoping, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed and, you know, and then after all this is done, I'd like to meet somebody. It's funny.
Well,
I was telling Nicole, I said, well, I don't have a new friend, but I'd really like a new friend. Preferably
okay,
a man.
Well, we can have that. But first of all, God is telling
you. Well, you have homework, you know. There's homework involved. Whoa, Cindy, do not even let her get off the hook that easy because she's not telling you what I said. What she said to me was that she needed a friend. What I said was that I'm going to hold you to making a new friend this week. I have faith that you can find a new friend this week, and I expect to call in next week with who your new friend is.
Well,
this is not like a passive thing. Oh, yeah, I'd like a friend. Yeah, no, she's got homework. Action needs to take place.
Right.
Well,
Find a friend.
I just moved into a new place, so there's a lot of new people that I can meet.
Go bake some brownies and knock on the door.
Right, and exactly.
I didn't move in that way. I meant business-wise. You know, I mean office space.
So?
Okay, office space. Well, that's good.
Okay.
Well, you know, walk
so
around the
building. So get some
coffee
and knock on the door.
Yeah, say hello. You know, talk. You know, like, and that's great because when you do move to a different place business-wise, home-wise, anyway, there's new people, and those people are oftentimes part of our soul group, and we expand our soul group, and we meet people. So, you know, the bottom line is what I see here is once you get past, you know, now till January is a little rocky because you're going to have to deal with what's on your plate, which is getting your money from these people, your mother. But around January, a lot of this should be resolved, or at least beginning to be resolved. So, you know, and I would just be careful now as far as like what you eat in the house. Just be careful. You know, make sure you're not eating any more food that's tainted, you know, that she leaves out or something, you know, like that's the thing.
Yeah, I'm not
out.
Eating anything, can I tell
she
you?
She probably
nothing.
Left those eggs out on a hot day. She probably left them out for like 20 hours and put them back in, you know, something stupid like that. So, you know, be careful. Be careful with that.
I'm beginning to think she's diabolical.
Yeah, well, you know, your father said, notice how the good one died first. He's not here. He got a pretty good idea how diabolical she was toward, you know, in his life. He saw it for himself, and he's sorry he died and left you with her. You know what I'm saying? He's sorry. But she is a very bright woman. I've known you long enough, and you've told me things over the years that I know she knows what she's doing. But, you know, she just has a mean streak. Bottom line, she has a mean streak. So, you know, let her go to St. Joseph's and let St. Joseph's let them take care of her over there. Let her meet some friends over there. Maybe she'll meet somebody from friends of her own over there. But, you know, wish her well when she lives there. Friendship and everything.
Of course.
You know what I mean? But it's time. Enough is enough. That's your mantra this year. Enough is enough. And again, anyone listening, when you're doing business with people, if you notice they're shady whenever, start seeing the writing on the wall sooner than later. Sooner than later, because, you know, otherwise you're in a mess like this, and you needed this, like, you know, you really didn't need this right now, okay?
But I know.
I do see it. I do see you will get your money, most of it anyway, and you will get your mom out of there and nice friends and a man in the future, but right now the most important thing is take care of these things right now, and don't get sick over, like, beat yourself up over it. Just do righteous anger. Just bring the facts to the lawyer and let the facts speak for themselves. And,
okay.
You know, I wouldn't even talk to these people directly anymore, because if you do anything, they're going to, like, say you're harassing them or whatever. You know.
Yeah, no, he's coming tomorrow, and I'm going to leave it all in the attorney's hands and let him handle it from here on in.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
Don't even engage, because these are the kind of people that end up saying we threaten them, we hurt them, we, you know, somehow... Somehow, a lot of my clients over the years have landed up in jail, and they weren't the ones that did something wrong, but they ended up, like, getting involved or speaking up. And these people have a way of twisting things. So don't allow yourself to be in a position where these people could twist what you've done or said. Don't underestimate them. Whatever you do, don't underestimate them. Well, I'm glad you called in and let us know what's going on. Call in again, let us know if anything changes or, you know, whatever. But, you know, good luck to you with all of this. And
thank you so much.
And ask
your
dad for help.
I will call in with my new friend next week.
Okay, good. We want to hear about that new friend. And it's going to be in your work. Good. You want a new friend.
That's right.
Next week. I ate lunch with the homeless guy down the block. He was the only one that would talk to me, and I bought him lunch. You know, that's good.
I don't care if he's homeless as long as he's a friend.
It's a start. Good luck to you with your new friend. Good night now.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I like that you gave her homework, because remember, we've been trying to do that on the show a little bit, homework assignments. And this week, your homework assignment is make a new friend. We don't care if you make a child friend. You know, it could be a grown-up friend. It could be, you know, someone at work. It could be talking to the mailman or your neighbor. It could be someone you meet in the deli. I mean, I had a client who says he can't meet anybody, and I finally asked him where he works. He works in a deli. You mean nobody comes into a deli? You can't meet anybody in the deli? People come in all day long to the deli, you know?
It's because people don't know how to talk to anybody.
I know. I mean, it's come on. And, you know, it's something that people have to perfect. I mean, I perfected mine because my school district kept moving us from school to school. Like, so when I took, like, in college, a psychological test, they asked me if I had been a Navy brat because I had personality traits of someone that had been moved, like, a lot in their childhood. I said, nope, I lived in the same house my entire childhood, but I went to one school for the first 3 years. And then we were the baby boomers, and then the school that I should have gone near in my neighborhood was crowded, so I went to one, like, miles away with all new kids. And then for my middle school, I went to another school closer to where I was, and all those kids went to another place. And then high school, I went to another high school. So every 3 or 4 years, I had to make new friends. Like, so I had to learn how to talk.
It's a good thing
that
you're good at that, Cindy.
That's what I said. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had any friends, would I have? You know, so I figured out you better learn how to talk and communicate. But if people have been in their same grammar school, high school, small towns their whole life, they never really had to perfect making friends because they had them from kindergarten and stuff. So it's making friends means just listening, talking, smiling. And, you know, one time I did an experiment and I was doing a workshop and people were saying they can't meet anybody. And I took them into the 7-Eleven across the street. And I had everybody talking to me in the 7-Eleven within 5 minutes and laughing. I said, you can talk to people wherever you go, 7-Eleven, whatever. And, you know, just, you know, a sense of humor, a joke, share it. So we just want people to connect a little more, like really connect. Because there's a lot of lonely people.
But you know what, though? I don't only want the onus. I don't only want the onus to be placed on the people that are looking for the connection, though. Okay,
right.
So like for the guy that can't find anybody or what have you, you know, trying to make eye contact in the deli, you know what? It's hard because I'm sure that when he's in the deli, somebody is placing an order, then looking right back down at their phone, okay, or preoccupied with other things where they're not looking for the connection. So my message to everybody is not only if you are looking for a connection, but just everybody in general, be engaged with your fellow man. If you are online someplace and you are, and there is somebody ringing you up, put your damn phone down or tell whoever it is that you will call them back when you leave the store because it's rude to have a phone call while somebody is asking how they can serve you better today. All right? And things like that, you know. When you're ordering a sandwich, don't just sit there texting and ramble off what it is that you want while this person is doing their job and making you a damn sandwich. Okay, at least give him that or her that little bit of your attention for the 5-10 minutes that you might be in that store. Okay, and you know what? And you'll see what happens. It's very, very fulfilling when you actually make eye contact and experience something with another person.
Exactly, exactly. So we're going to work on that. Talking, talking, talking. That's our, like, goal, like getting there, talking, communicating, making friends. You know, and it's just nice. You know how pleasant it is just to have a soulful interaction with someone just for a minute. You just smile. They say something nice. You say something nice. It makes your day. It's just nice. And, you know, it's just one of those things. People forget that the little simple interactions and communications really make the world a nicer place. Don't you think? I do anyway. It's just really nice to, you know, talk and smile and get to know people. Well, we do want to get Kimmy before the show ends because I know she called
in too.
Absolutely.
We've got about 5 minutes left.
Okay.
Yep, we've got about 5 minutes left. And Kim is in Florida, and she just has a job question, Cindy. She is undergoing, I think, a little bit of some changing, and she wants a little bit of insight as to what kind of changes are coming her way. So here we go with Kim in Florida. Hello, Kim. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you? Hey, Nicole.
Okay, great. So what's going on with your job?
So, you know, I was a teacher for a while, and then I just got burned out, and I've been a nanny And I started, I work with two families, and I started with this other family, and they told me half a story when I took the job. Didn't know the dad worked from upstairs, didn't know I was going to chauffeur him around all over. He's got not a good relationship with his wife.
So what are you, the nanny with him? What are you, the dad's nanny?
He's like, well, you know, you're like the second wife, and I want to say, well, I am not your second wife. So it's just been so awkward. He has anger management problems. Yesterday had a blowout. I mean, I just gave him, I wanted to walk out, but I was nice because the mother is nice, although she's never around. So long story short, I'm leaving. It's just not a fit for me. So my question is, where do you see me going? Like, I've been trying to, you know, do you see me in an office? Do you see me finding, do you see me, my first nanny position in the morning? Do you see maybe her extending my hours now where I'll only work for her? Or do you see me getting another nanny position in the afternoon or leaving the whole nanny thing? Or, I don't know. I don't want to leave my first job. And she's having another baby and told me come after Thanksgiving, she would need me full time, but that's still weeks away. So,
yeah, it does look like you'll have that. What I would do is just put up with this one until then.
Oh, I can't.
You know.
But
money-wise, could you ask the morning person that, if you know, you really need some more hours, can she give you some more hours now? You know?
That's my plan tomorrow, but I figured I just want to know, where do you see me going in the next, you know, do you see her saying, yeah? Do you see me maybe getting an office job and leaving the whole nanny thing? I mean, I don't know.
Eventually, yes. But, are you putting job resumes out for an office job at this point?
I had an interview today, but it's sales, and I'm not in sales. And if you don't keep your quota, they let you go. And honestly,
Forget that. It's just too stressful for me.
And that was a friend trying to be nice and hooking me up. It just came my way, so I took the opportunity. I'm not closed-minded. What are the cards keeping me? I mean, am I not going to have a job in 2 weeks? Is it only going to be one for, I work 20 hours for Lindsay, my morning job.
Right.
Hopefully she gives me more hours. I don't know if she will. She's a stay-at-home mom, you know?
Right. I don't see her giving you more until maybe the baby comes, but that may be full time for a few months, but not necessarily forever. So,
right.
Start putting out some resumes all over the place, because you got the Ace of Pentacles. You're going to get a new job. Do you want to stay in the nanny field, or are you tired of it?
No, I absolutely love it. I mean, that's where I make my money. It's my resume.
So then,
has
I mean, I wouldn't let this one place discourage you. Just, you know, what you fell for was the prince that became the beast. It can happen in love. It can happen in work. They didn't tell you the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Okay? And, you know, from now on, when you do your, remember, when you're a nanny, you have to interview them as well as them interviewing you.
Absolutely.
So
and
that's
I know
what
them.
You do.
I totally know them. I taught their kids a couple years ago. And I'm on care.com, so they found me. They're like, Miss Kimmy, you're, oh my God, you're free. You know, I mean, you're a mother, you've been a mother of three, and you've been a teacher, and that's exactly what we want, because they also have another living nanny. But she doesn't speak English, doesn't drive, so that's where I come in, where I drive all the kids around.
So you're really the driver.
I'm a taxi cab driver, yeah.
Yeah, the taxi.
And I do all the educational with all their homework, all their studying. I mean, the parents have nothing to do with that, which saddens me. But they even tell me to forge their name. But
well, you're the Uber driver.
I mean, where do you see me in 2 weeks? Do you see me finding something?
Well, I see it might be difficult. So I'm telling you, I'm not telling you to quit this job, because I don't want you quitting this job and thinking you're going to get something in 2 weeks. I wouldn't advise you to quit it unless you can afford to. Because, you know, stay with this, take your money and run, do what you got to do, take your money and run. But meanwhile, put your resumes out there, because to expect to find a job in 2 weeks is kind of, you know.
Well,
in
the nanny field, honestly, there's tons of them out there. It's just finding the right, because a lot of the nanny positions now, a lot of their kids are on waiting lists.
Well, that's what I said. It doesn't pay for you to jump to another job that could be worse than this one. You know, so you want to make sure that this time you stay with this until you find something else and you interview to make sure it's what you want. And even try it for 2 days, you know, like, you know, and see how you like it. But, you know, just, you know, I don't see you finding a whole new career in 2 weeks. So look for your new nanny job. But, you know, quitting it would probably make you nervous if you, you know, if you don't have income coming in, you know, enough income.
He actually harasses me and was pointing his finger and was calling me a liar. His son, the kids can't watch TV. They can't play on their iPad. So what the kids are doing now is they're sneaking behind the back, and the dad busted them. And he's like, well, why did you do that? And he's like, well, the kid just said, Miss Kimmy said so. And I was like, I was not part of that. And he was almost believing his kid, like, my kids don't lie. Like, well, I'm Miss Kimmy, and you called me looking for me. You didn't even look for references.
All right, but you're taking it too personally. They're narcissists.
Well, I'm not going to tolerate somebody sticking their fingers in my face and disrespecting me. And if you don't trust me, then I don't belong there. So,
okay, but again, don't cut your nose off to spite your face, okay? You still need the money. Take your money and run. Yes him to death. Yeah, sure. Whatever he says for the next 2 weeks, you're not going to be, or next week. Part of our lesson is to learn sometimes to put up with these people so that if you just walk out on it, you don't get a job for 2 weeks. That's 2 weeks of money you're not having come in for your family. I mean, unless you can afford it, to lose 2 weeks' work or a week's work.
Right. It's what I want to do. The situation's out of hand. You have to kind of feel it and live it to feel what I'm doing. Believe me, I'm a worker. I'm a hard worker. I've been working 60 hours a week. I don't want to do this. I love the kids. I love the job. He's just
all right. Then why? But then don't ask me. Don't ask me. Then do what you want to do. But I can't, in good conscience, ever tell someone to walk out on a job without having something.
You saw my cards for me in like the future with career.
Okay, but again. I mean, again, you're asking a psychic. A psychic can't tell you're going to get a job in 2 weeks, okay? I can't tell you. Don't doubt that you would get one, but in all honesty, I don't want you to go by me and then you don't get one for a month. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, who knows? There's a lot of variables here. So, you know, if you can afford to quit, then quit if you can't deal with it. Otherwise, just take your money and run. Don't take it personally. Yes, them all to death. Do your job to the best of your ability. Know you're getting out of there, so it doesn't matter what they really say or do. Just get your money. And, you know, don't take it so personally. And, you know, I know it's hard to be berated by someone, but, you know the industry. If, you know, you put out your, just put yourself back on there.
They gave me a schedule, and it's like, okay, I'm supposed to abide by the schedule, and I do. So when 8:30 comes, okay, which is a long, I have children too. They know that. They're so inconsiderate. Well, why are you leaving? Well, it's 8:30, and that's what my schedule says. So they're copying it.
Well, that's what I said. You're not going.
So no matter what I do, it's going to be negative drama, and I stay far away from that. So I know all don't want to walk away and spite my own nose, but again, it's very, very, very uncomfortable. And then he stalks me in every room, follows me in every room.
Again, you're acting like it's going to last forever. Maybe you only need the money for another week when you find something else, and then you walk out the door.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, don't take it personally. And, you know, you're supposed to leave at 8:30, leave. That's what you're supposed to do. Let them fire you if that's what they're going to do. But, you know, put it your resumes. It looks like you should get something pretty fast, so... you should. So put your resumes out for your nanny job. And I'm just telling you, if you're going to just jump at the next thing, it might not be that much better. You might want to stay with this and make sure you're interviewing the families too to find out what you're really getting into.
Yeah, I have 4 interviews between now and Saturday. I mean,
I expect you to get one of those. Okay. So, you know, but I would just say between now and Saturday, and then the day you get that other job, you just don't go back anymore. You just tell them, I'm sorry, not coming back.
Yeah, well, they already know. I wouldn't want to leave them, and I wouldn't want it done to me either. So it's known. With the mom, it was a nice conversation. I was just wondering if you can just give me like a little bit of something that was, you know, hope or something. I don't know.
Well, of course you can get it.
But, yeah.
Again, don't never go, you know, any legitimate psychic should never tell somebody you should quit your job because you're going to get one in a week. That's like, you know, you don't know. You don't know. I don't know that answer. All I know is that you're probably going to get something else. It looks like you're going to get something else. If you can't take it, then leave. But if you can afford to, if you can afford to, you know, like take the next couple of days off while you're doing your interviews. If you can afford that, then do it. You know, but, you know, maybe you won't like these four people. So you want to make sure before you do that, you just see what these four people are like.
Well, that's the hard thing. You got to kind of experience it. That's just, you know, working with families. It's not, you know what I mean? It's just different.
Well, anyway,
so,
we have to get off because they're going to knock us off in like
a
second.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night,
Kim. Good night, Nicole. Nicole, do you understand why I told her I can't tell her to quit a job? I mean, you know, like, I can't tell somebody to quit a job and you're going to find something. You know, like, really, that has to be, like, you know, find a job, leave, you know, so this way you don't put your family in jeopardy financially. All right, good night, everybody. Good night. Am I right, Kim? You know, Nicole, would you tell, you know, really? I mean, I could see.
No. I would never tell anybody to cut their nose off to spite their face. I've been in that situation before, and you know what? Usually there's your own karma that comes along with making knee-jerk decisions like that. If she is in bodily harm where she's at, then obviously, you know, you get yourself out of harm's way. You know, if she's being, you know, mentally tortured by these people, I wouldn't say, oh, yes, stay there forever. No. Start getting your ducks in a row. Be ready to move and be ready to put in your 2 weeks. And if they don't like that, then that sounds like a whole lot of their problem. But in the meantime, you know, make an educated decision as to where you need to be and where you need to go. You know, because if you do just make that knee-jerk decision, you could be jumping into something better, but you could be jumping into something worse. So at least, you know what your boundaries are here. You know what you're dealing with here, and you could kind of adjust yourself accordingly. You know, if you try to pull the same stuff with somebody else, you don't know how long that'll last or what'll happen.
And also, I'm sort of under obligation to tell people that you don't go to psychics to make life decisions because they tell you what you want to hear and it might not be right because you just want to hear, you can quit that job and you're getting another degree. Like, don't do that.
Yeah, no, I think that,
I mean, like,
I think that what she was looking for was just, you know, listen, is everything going to be okay? You know, and I don't think that she was articulating that very well.
And of course it is. And of course it
is.
Hardworking people never have to worry about money. They'll always find a job. That's the truth.
Yep. Yeah, but I think that that was just the overall, I think that was just the overall thing that she was not articulating so well because of the fact that, you know, she's getting very, very emotional about it. And you know what? I've been in situations where I've been berated, you know, on the job where I just got to sit there, you know, and deal with somebody, you know, that completely treats me like I'm an idiot. You know, I mean, I've been there before. I think that you've
been
there before, Cindy, in your life. We've been there before.
We've all been there.
It sucks when you're in it, but you know what? It feels really good when you take care of business and you walk away free and clear, and they're sitting there left holding the bag like, huh? And you're like, yeah, bye. You know, so that's a very, very fulfilling thing. So, you know, that's what I'm advising that she do. You know, we want Kim to be happy. We want her to find whatever it is she needs to find. But we just need her to be a little bit smarter about it and not be so emotional about it. You should never, ever, whether it's job or anything else, should never, ever make decisions, important life decisions, when you are emotional. You should always just, cooler heads always prevail.
Right, exactly. Well, good night, everybody. We'll speak next week. Bye.
Good night, Cindy.
Bye.